The first reading this morning is from the book of Exodus, from chapter 32, verses 7 to 14, in the Good News Translation. The Lord said to Moses, "Hurry and go back down, because your people whom you led out of Egypt have sinned and rejected me. They have already left the way that I commanded them to follow. They have made a bull calf out of melted gold and have worshipped it and offered sacrifices to it. They are saying that this is their God who led them out of Egypt. I know how stubborn these people are. Now, don't try to stop me. I'm angry with them and I am going to destroy them. Then I will make you and your descendants into a great nation." But Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, "Lord, why should you be so angry with your people whom you rescued from Egypt with great might and power? Why should the Egyptians be able to say that you led your people out of Egypt, planning to kill them in the mountains and destroy them completely? Stop being angry. Change your mind and do not bring this disaster on your people. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember the solemn promise you made to them to give them as many descendants as there are stars in the sky, and to give their descendants all that land you promised would be their possession forever." So the Lord changed his mind and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened.
Thank you. I read to us from Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. It says this, "So then, my friends, how dear you are to me and how I miss you, how happy you make me and how proud I am of you. This, dear friends, is how you should stand firm in your life in the Lord. Euodia and Syntyche, please, I beg you, try to agree as sisters in the Lord. And you too, my faithful partner, I want you to help these women, for they have worked hard with me to spread the gospel, together with Clement and all my other fellow workers, whose names are in God's book of the living. May you always be joyful in your union with the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice. Show a gentle attitude towards everyone. The Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything, but in all your prayers, ask God for what you need, always asking him with a thankful heart. And God's peace, which is far beyond human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds safe in union with Christ Jesus. In conclusion, my friends, fill your minds with those things that are good and that deserve praise, things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and honorable. Put into practice what you learned and received from me, both from my words and from my actions. And the God who gives us peace will be with you. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. I begin this morning with a saying. And it's a saying that I heard first at about the age of 13. My mother said it, and it was something that has stuck with me for many years since then. Somebody was speaking to her, and they said that they had hit rock bottom, that they were at the end of their tether. They couldn't go any further down. And she turned around and said, "That's when we start mining. When you hit rock bottom, that's when you start mining." And like I say, that statement has stuck with me for a long time. And as I was preparing for today, that same sense of hitting bottom, of finding hard rock around me and below me and all around me was very real. Because I think if we look at the world around us, we see that there is a lot of struggle and strife. We find ourselves in a place in the world in October 2023 where there is a lot to lament and look around at and say it's broken. And I specifically didn't make a list and make notes of some of those things. I wanted today to just speak about those which are current and present just for me, and I'm sure for you as well. We're aware of the conflict in Palestine and everything that's taking place around that. We're aware of the ongoing conflict in Ukraine and everything that takes place there. We're aware of many conflicts up north in Africa on our own continent, and so much destruction and strife happening there. We find ourselves in year 13 of load shedding and everything that means in our world and country. I heard this week on the radio real information around the possibility of water shedding for Johannesburg over the next 5 years and what that could mean. Closer to home, we're aware of shootings that took place just down the road, about 10 k's down, in a church that brought death to some. These are just the things that in this last week have been in my mind, have been in my heart. And as I say, I didn't even make a list of these. These are just what's going on around us. I'm sure you're aware of many of these and have been thinking and praying of them. And this doesn't even take us into the list that each one of us carry on our own. Those personal moments where others around us don't necessarily know about it, but we find ourselves in a moment of struggle and of pain. An area where we're not sure what to do next. And then we read today's passage, and it stands in contrast to what I've just spoken about. It stands in contrast to what we see in the world around us and the difficulties and the struggle and the strife that we know to be there and real. And that reminded me that sometimes Scripture does that for us. Sometimes Scripture stands in contrast to the very world that we know to be true on the outside of us. Sometimes we need to hear that contrast, and we need to be aware of it. And sometimes we need to let that contrast speak into our lives. Sometimes we need to hear Scripture give us a new and a different message. And today I'm hoping that not only the Exodus reading of one person saying, it cannot be this way, let's make it a different way. I hope that our New Testament reading today as well will do exactly the same, that it will speak into our world and into the struggle and strife that we see around us and say there is a different way, an alternative way. There is something else and something different that we can see in the world around us. And I begin with that question then that says, how do we, in the struggle around us, knowing that we've hit solid rock underneath us, we've got to the bottom and the most difficult point in our lives, how is it that in that moment we can look to the Scripture and say, where is the joy? Where is their newness? Where is their hope? Where is their life? And I'm hoping today that we can find some of that. You might not see it immediately from our Philippians reading, but I believe there is some practicality in this message of ways for us to find joy. There is something new and something hopeful there that is indeed able to lift us up and to do something so that we don't need to start mining. We don't need to start digging below us. But even as a metaphor, that metaphor I think is still good. For many years I took that saying and I interpreted it to mean that even in the most difficult places, there is still more difficulty to come underneath us. That we can mine, we can surround ourselves with harder rock that is still there. And that's the first way that I interpreted that metaphor for a long time. But there might also be another way, that when we mine, we go in search of something inside the rock, even in the hard place, that is good and precious and pure and is able to bring some riches. And I'm hoping that's for us today what will take place, that these Scriptures will remind us that even if we do need to go mining, we'll find something there that is good and useful. This is an imperfect metaphor, and throughout this morning, you'll probably hear me contradict myself on the metaphor, but don't listen to the metaphor, listen to the message of what is coming here. We also do find ourselves at the end today of a series on Philippians, which I'm hoping has brought some joy, which I'm hoping has brought some newness in your life, and as we've gone through these chapters, these passages, that there would have been something there for you. But today, that question of how do we find joy, I believe, is very clear in this passage. And the reason I say that is for two reasons. One is that Paul very clearly says that we must rejoice. And he says it twice. Many times in his writings, Paul is very clear on what he says. He takes a sentence and he structures it. He gives it good meaning. And that's why his letters have stood the test of time for so long. Because what he does is he takes not just our understanding of God, but he understands it well himself, and he distills it into phrases, into sayings, into metaphors that allow us to hold on to it and to take it with us. And he does it once, and he says, this is the phrase to listen to. And he does it well. But in this instance, he repeats himself, which he doesn't often do. And so we stand up and we take note and we say, ah, but what's going on here? And in this moment, Paul says to us, rejoice. And I say it again, rejoice. Can I hear an amen from the congregation at least? Because that is incredibly important. It's not just a rejoice because it's something we need to do. He says it more than once because it's something that we need to live and something that needs to be in us and with us. And it's important. So today, hear that at the very least. This scripture tells us twice to rejoice. And we pick that up and we hold it in our lives. But the other thing that I believe is in this passage that's important for us is that Paul reminds us of who God is. That God is a God of peace. And that everything that we see in the world around us, the peace that comes out of us into the world, where we find moments of joy, they begin with God. Because God's nature is that of peace. God's nature is that of goodness. And that if God is the God who gives us peace, that very nature of God lives in us, and we are able to see and give peace in the world around us. If it's God who gives us peace, that knows and understands peace beyond our understanding, then that peace is real. And hear that in the scripture today. God's peace is real with each one of us. God's peace is important in our lives and holds true because God is the God of peace. And Paul would have been building on the Hebrew word shalom for peace, which isn't just a piece of outward peace. It's an inner wholeness that takes over everything in our lives, recognizing that it stems from God, and it moves through our entire being through God, and it goes out into the world because God is with us. It's a deep inner peace. And I hope that in this scripture we can not just see it, but we can understand it and live it. But then that asks the question, how does joy become rejoicing? How does the peace that we have within us radiate into the world around us? If we've hit rock and we're not sure where to go, what next? Do we begin mining? Do we take out the jackhammer and start jackhammering to find something new there? Or do we look at the world in a different way? The other thing I'm very aware of from Paul is that he gives us direction. And what I mean by that is he's quite clear on what to do next. In each of the times that he writes to various peoples, he's very open and aware of what must come next. And to the Philippians as well, he's quite clear on that. This is a letter that he wrote to them to give them courage, to give them newness, to say, read this letter and have courage, go forward. And the same for each one of us. That he's giving us instructions and saying, this is what you need to do. And think about the way that he writes throughout his epistles. In Romans, he says, renew your mind. Out of the old must come something new. We've just read now in Philippians that he speaks about those things that are noble and good and true and honorable. And those are the things that we must put our minds on. Again in Philippians, he says, you must think like Christ. And do everything that Christ does. In Colossians, he reminds us that we must think above, not on the earth. In 1 Thessalonians, and we're going into a series on Thessalonians in the next few weeks, so please do join us for that. But he says, test everything and hold to what is good. He gives a clear instruction there. And then also in Romans, he reminds us, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought. Reminding us that there is an instruction of how to live. And so he's very clear as he begins to speak and as he begins to encourage, as he begins to talk to those who would read those letters. And he says, this is what to do next. These are clear things that we can do in the world around us. He gives us focus and he gives us direction. And in this scripture that we read today from Philippians, it's exactly the same. He gives us an explicit and clear instruction to think upwards. If we find ourselves at rock bottom, what do? We think upwards. And he says, think about these things. Think about what is good. Think about what is true and noble and right and pure and lovely and honorable. Think upwards. And he's explicit. He says, this is what you need to do. But there's an implicit instruction there too. Something else that he's encouraging us. He's saying by that, don't think downwards. Don't take out the jackhammer and start jackhammering below you. Rather, look up. Because as we go down, if we go down, it will surround us with more rock. But if we go up, if we think up, there will be something new that comes out of the situation. Because when we think down, we go into falsehood. We go into base things. We go into an unjust world. We go into the impure, the ugly, the dishonorable, rather than what he is calling us to think of. And thinking downward will trap each one of us. It's not a good place to be. Because if we don't choose love and compassion, our human mind naturally goes the other direction. And we risk finding ourselves in a place that we can't get out of, surrounded by hard rock, surrounded by struggle and difficulty. It's Martin Luther King who reminds us that violence is ultimately weak. I'll explain why I say that in a moment. Because it's a descending spiral. Violence is a descending spiral that takes us downwards into places that are not good. It gives birth to the very thing that we are trying to destroy. It doesn't help us in any way. And instead of diminishing evil, violence will multiply it. Instead of bringing the end to evil, it will add more to the pile. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. And we find ourselves in that place where Paul is saying something very similar here. He's speaking that we need to go in the opposite direction to what is happening in the world around us. Our Exodus reading reminds us of that as well, that where there was darkness and brokenness, where there was a people who were rebellious, that there needed to be a new way out. There needed to be something more that came from the situation they found themselves in. And so when Paul speaks here, he says, don't think down, think up. Don't think of the struggle and the strife around us. Think upwards of what God is doing in the world around us. Look in the opposite direction. And instead of spiraling downwards with more falsehood and unjust ways, with more impurity, with more ugliness and dishonorableness, rather begin to spiral upwards. Think upwards in the world around us. Think of what is true and noble and right and pure and love and honorable. And that will begin to build more truth, more nobility, more righteousness, more purity, more loveliness, and more honor. And that is how Paul says to us, we take joy and make it into rejoicing. That we build on the goodness that we do see around us, rather than looking to the struggle and the strife that is there. When we want to raise our lives up to Christ, that is exactly what is happening. Christ is calling us upwards, not downwards. Christ is calling us to newness, not to more brokenness. Christ is calling us to hope, not to despair. And in that moment, we see that our joy, what is joyful still around us, can raise us into joyfulness, can spiral us upwards out of darkness. Now, Paul is not telling us to ignore the problems that we see around us or to just pretend that everything is okay. That's not the case. But rather, he is saying, focus on what is good. Focus on what will build something new in the world around us. Give yourself opportunity to take the scripture at face value and to say, rejoice, rejoice, find newness. To say, look to the good things, look to the good ways around us, and to build on those so that the peace of God that is in us and we know is there can radiate into the world around us. That we can think and use our minds and say, how is it that we can bring something else into this situation? We can pray, and in many instances, we can simply be in a space of goodness and wholeness so that we can share goodness and wholeness with the world around us. It begins with the peace of God, alive and well in us, and it turns into something new in the world around us that gives us hope. We recognize that God is working in the world. We recognize that God is goodness and peace in the world, and we hold to that. And so today, as we find ourselves in that place, would you, with this scripture, take those words and in the face of the struggle around us, say, I rejoice. In the face of the struggle around us, say, I, in my life, choose to look to the goodness and the wholeness so that more can be shared. So that we can speak into the struggle and the darkness, and instead of mining below us, rather look upwards to God. And that might take different meanings in each of our lives. It might mean that when we look into situations around us, we are able to say, I say the scripture in my heart and my mind, rejoice. Sometimes we might even need to speak it to the people around us. To say, even though it looks hard around us, rejoice because the God of peace is with us. Sometimes it might mean that we need to say, we cannot go into more violence. We cannot go into more hatred. We cannot go into more places of injustice. Instead, we need to go to more places of goodness and hope and purity and justice. And we need to speak our words into those moments. Just now we're going to pray prayers of intercession which call for exactly that, for there to be newness in the world. In these songs that we sing today in this service, you will have heard each one of them speaks of joy or bringing ourselves up into God's presence. And that needs to be the song that's in our hearts. And when we look at the world around us, we need to be the ones speaking gospel truth, which says we are called to rejoice, we are called to newness. And to live that in each of our lives, recognizing the peace of God, the love of God that is within each one of us. And it's only when we're there, that recognition, that moment, that we can say to others, you too need to rejoice. We too need to bring goodness where there is only brokenness and strife. And from that place, we as Christians stand and say, God is with us. And God is in the situation. Let us spiral upwards rather than down. Let us give glory to God and speak newness and wholeness into the world around us. Now I want us to hear these words, another one of our lectionary readings today. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He lets me rest in fields of green pastures and leads me to quiet pools of fresh water. He gives me new strength. He guides me in the right paths as he has promised. Even if I go through the deepest darkness, I will not be afraid. Can you hear the rejoice in that? For you are with me. Your shepherd's rod and staff protect me. You prepare a banquet for me where all my enemies can see me. You welcome me as an honored guest. And fill my cup to the brim. I know that your goodness and love will be with me all the days of my life. And your house will be my home as long as I live. We spiral upwards to the good things. Will you do that with me this week as we go out into the world, a world which is struggling, a world full of strife, and take this joy, this peace that we know of God with you. Amen. Again, I say rejoice.